You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody. It is Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we will never blow an inadvertent whistle. I am Marcus Grant alongside Michael F. Florio. Producer Justin is at the controls, and we got through Super Wild Card Weekend, six games, including a Monday night game. I don't know that it was necessarily super on the field. For you, obviously, you know, taking the Bills' huge win into account, what was the best game for you of this weekend?
Selfishly for me, it was the Bills game, but that's only because I am a Bills fan. Objectively, I thought the first game of the week was the best one, the Bengals-Raiders. That whistle feels like it was weeks ago, even though it was just a couple of days ago, but that, to me, that was the best game. It was back and forth a little bit. It came down to the end. Not many games were close this week, so that one, I think, kind of almost wins by default.
All right, so maybe I'm going to be homerish here, but I'm going to pick the 49ers and Cowboys.
That was another good one.
Because that was the only other, I think, really competitive game, even though the end of it was just a comedy of errors. Like, neither team could really close the game out. The Niners had multiple chances to shut it down. I mean, it looked, for all intents and purposes, at first, like Deebo Samuel had run for a first down. Then on review, it was short. Then it looks like Jimmy G sneaks it across the line for a first down, except he didn't wait long enough for Trent Williams to get set, so they called a false start. Then the Niner defense just lets the Cowboys march down the field until Dak Prescott inexplicably runs a draw and has the clock run out. So it was close, even though if it wasn't well played at the end, it was not good for my heart. I know that much. So
I can only imagine.
Right, I'm like sitting here, I'm moving stuff around, I'm cleaning up, and I'm like watching on TV, and I'm like stressed out, like this is not good for me.
What was your reaction when Dak ran? Because I didn't have a dog in the fight, and I'm watching like what is going on?
Like, I was like, wait, what's it's like, at first I'm like, oh crap, there's a lot of room. Then I'm like, wait a minute, they don't have any timeouts. Like, what is he doing? so yeah, and then I'm like watching it, and I'm, you know, they're trying to hustle up to the line, and he spikes it, and I'm like, well, I'm like, from where I'm sitting, it looks like the clock ran out. But I'm like, I was wondering if they would give them 1 second.
I thought they would.
To try and just do one more play. Because I feel like if they had one more play, I felt the worst. Like, I just felt like if they got one more play, somehow, like, CeeDee Lamb or actually be like, you know, Dalton Schultz was going to come down with a Hail Mary in the end zone or something like that. And I was going to be just sick for the rest of the weekend. But they figured it out. You know, whatever. It worked. That's all I'll say about it. But that sort of gets to the point, though, right? I mean, we sat here, we talked about there were 6 games this weekend. Only 2 of them were actually competitive. And then I saw something this morning that there were 0 lead changes in the second half of any of the 6 games. So if you were leading at halftime, you won. Have we gone too far? I mean, I know the genie's out of the bottle. It's not coming back. But, you know, adding a 7th playoff team to each conference, right? The 2 7 seeds got smoked. The Eagles and the Steelers got smoked. Like, is this just a bad idea now?
I don't think so. I'm kind of a lunatic in the sense that, like, if there's meaningful football on, I'm going to watch it even if it's not all that competitive. So having, you know, the Monday night game was really cool. Having 3 games on Sunday instead of 2 and 2, that was cool. I also think it was just kind of a bad draw for the NFL this year. Like, if the Chargers were that 7th team and not the Steelers, I think we're all happy that we have a 7th team in, because we're like, how could the Chargers have been left out? But they fell just short. And the NFC, it would have been kind of gross any which way you sliced that 7th seed. But, like, the Vikings, right? Like, they're a team that would have been at least fun to watch, could have kept it a little bit more competitive. So I don't hate the 7th team being in. I just don't think the 7 best teams made it this year.
Yeah, it was not great. In fact, I was, you know, on my text chain with some friends, and, you know, we were saying, because some of them are also Raider fans kind of part-time, but I was like, you know what? This is all Rich Bisaccia's fault that the Steelers are getting drilled right now, right? If you would have just taken a knee, both teams, like, the Chargers would have been in, and maybe we could have had, like, a Herbert Mahomes playoff game. Like, that would have been a lot more fun.
It would have been Bills Chargers, which, I mean, Allen Herbert would have been a lot of fun.
Right, that would have been great, instead of watching the Steelers get thumped. Like, you know, they had a 7-0 lead, and then that was pretty much a wrap right after that. By the way, side note, how excited were you to see Ryan Fitzpatrick show up shirtless at a Bills playoff game?
I didn't see it until the next morning, and when I saw it, though, I was like, this is amazing. Like, the fact that he isn't, not even, like, all right, you saw, like, Kelly and all the other former Bills greats there. Like, that's expected. A current player for another team was just in the crowd shirtless celebrating the Bills. To me, it just, I don't know, it makes you feel good about rooting for that team. Like, there's, like, a sense of family or something there between the players.
It's amazing. That was absolutely amazing. And it's why Fitzmagic will always, I'm sure, be, you know, high on the list of favorite Bills quarterbacks, even when he's not a Bill. That was pretty wild. All right. Let's get to some news and notes for this Tuesday. We will start back at Thursday because we can't do a show without some news breaking after we release it. But the Texans fired head coach David Culley after 1 season. You know, I really don't know where to go with this other than I think he was put in a position where he was not going to be successful, but I was still surprised that they pulled the plug after 1 year.
He overachieved. I think
he did too. No, I think you're right. I think with what he had to work with and what they ended up doing, I definitely think he overachieved. But the Texans feel like they want to go in a different direction. I do know they talked to Brian Flores. I know there's some other things in play. We'll talk about Deshaun Watson a little bit later on in the show because I just have some questions about it. But maybe that's part of the plan there, is to do something to see if they can, I don't know, work something out. Who knows? The Raiders fired general manager Mike Mayock after 3 seasons. I think this is part of just the house cleaning that the Raiders are going through right now. You know, obviously John Gruden is gone. Mike Mayock is now gone. I mean, does Derek Carr come back? Should he come back? Like, I don't even know what the Raiders are going to do right now.
Derek Carr, to me, is one of those quarterbacks where, like, I don't think at least if you're the Raiders right now, like, how can you move on from him and be like, we're going to bring in someone who has, like, make us more competitive right now? Like, he has their franchise record and a lot of stats. He finally got them to the playoffs. But I think Derek Carr is one of those trap quarterbacks where he's not good enough where you could win a Super Bowl with him unless everything around you is perfect. Those type of quarterbacks teams tend to hold on to and just kind of sit in, like, the late teens, early 20s in the drafts for far too long. But We were talking about it before the show. It's a weak quarterback class in the draft. Free agency is a little questionable. I'm not sure there's a better option for next year than Derek Carr.
That's kind of the thing, is that he kind of puts them, you're right, he's good enough so that you're competitive and you're in it and you have a shot at the playoffs every year. I don't know that he's good enough, or this team is constructed as good enough, to be a Super Bowl contender. So they are kind of stuck in quarterback limbo a little bit. I mean, they were 10-7 this year, which still seems weird to say 10-7, but they were 10-7 this year, and it just feels like, you know, as constructed, they will sort of hover around that for years to come until they either get really good or really bad. So we'll see. Russell Wilson says he wants to explore some offseason options. When asked about it at the end of the year, I feel like he was very diplomatic about, you know, not really saying what was going to happen. He was, you know, focused on the week ahead or what have you. But, you know, all the stories from the offseason and during the season suggest that, you know, maybe the two sides kind of figure about, you know, something different going forward. So let's just play hypotheticals here, right? And let's say Russell Wilson decides not to come back to Seattle. Do you see a good fantasy fit for him somewhere?
Yeah, my answer to any of these questions when the quarterback comes up is the Denver Broncos. Like, I feel like Denver is in such a good position right now where they just need a quarterback. Like, they have a very respectable defense. They have a great run game when Javonte Williams, maybe they bring back Melvin Gordon, we got to see there. But we know Javonte Williams is a legit good running back. They have Noah Fant, who I believe talent-wise, I know I didn't love Noah Fant fantasy-wise, but I believe talent-wise, Noah Fant is one of the better tight ends in football. I think they have a really talented trio, you could even say foursome, of wide receivers with Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, and then when KJ Hamler is healthy. So just a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. I think Russell Wilson could take all of those players to the next level, which would be really fun for fantasy. They just need a quarterback. And we saw this year with even below average quarterback play, they could be a competitive team. You put a Russell Wilson on there, I think fantasy they take off, and in real life, I think they have Super Bowl aspirations.
I mean, basically, I think, you know, the conversation had been this whole time about, hey, it's going to be great when Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver. That is seeming less likely now. It seems like, you know, things in Green Bay are sort of, you know, healing themselves. So maybe Rodgers doesn't go. So now I think maybe we are pivoting to Russell Wilson heading to Denver. I did hear someone say, that maybe Russell Wilson could be an interesting fit. I didn't. It was Jimmy Garoppolo. I was going to say, somebody said Jimmy Garoppolo could be an interesting fit in Pittsburgh, but maybe Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh? Or is that too much like being back in Seattle again, right? You've got a defense that has issues. You've got two good wide receivers and a running back. It just, does that feel like a lateral move going to Pittsburgh maybe? I don't know.
I think so, because you'd have two good receivers. Are they as good as DK and Lockett? Your O-line would be a mess, and that was the issue that he had in Seattle. I don't love Pittsburgh for Russ. And I know we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and everything seems good there, right? Do you think it'll all be good if they lose this week to your Niners, or they lose the week after? I don't know. I think we're one playoff loss away from Aaron Rodgers just becoming Aaron Rodgers again.
Could be. I mean, some of it depends on how it goes down. You know, if they're settling for field goals instead of going for it and they lose that way, then maybe we're right back to where we started at the beginning. So I did mention Pittsburgh, and it appears, even though nothing is official, that Ben Roethlisberger has played his last NFL game. He'll probably make the announcement that he retires like right after we post this podcast, because that's just how our lives go. But it appears that he is done playing professional football. And stories on Tuesday morning are saying that all signs point to Mason Rudolph being the quarterback. I know it's not exciting. I know Steeler fans are not super fired up about that. I get it. But it's another situation where it feels like the Steelers sort of kicked the can down the road on trying to fill that backup quarterback spot. Now they're stuck with Mason Rudolph in, as you mentioned, a year that doesn't have a lot of great quarterback draft prospects, a year where the free agency market doesn't look like it's going to be that great at the quarterback position. So they really may be stuck with Mason Rudolph. Obviously, nobody's drafting him in fantasy, but does this make you more worried about guys like Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and even Najee Harris to some extent?
Yeah, it does, because we saw Mason Rudolph. We've seen enough of Mason Rudolph to know who Mason Rudolph is at this point. He's not even a quality backup. Like, he comes in from Big Ben, who is a shell of his former self. I think most of us could say with confidence, like, No offense to Big Ben. He's not what he used to be. He is one of the lower end starters in the NFL today, to say it nicely. And they were worse when they went to Mason Rudolph. They tied with the winless Lions at the time. They couldn't move the ball. To me, I'm looking at this as like, this has to be a smokescreen, right? Like, there's no way you could go in with just Mason Rudolph. I'd rather see Dwayne Haskins at this time, because at least there's some unknown. There's some upside in the unknown there. I think Jimmy G makes sense. Even bring in a backup like Andy Dalton or Mitch Trubisky. I think those players would elevate this offense more. But if this is the case and Mason Rudolph is the Steelers starter, I mean, just call Big Ben next August and run it back one more time.
So, you know what this makes me think of? It was, a year or two ago? I guess about a year ago, when someone asked Sean McVay about Jared Goff, and he said, Jared Goff is a Ram right now. And like, everybody was kind of like, so this sort of feels like Mason Rudolph is the starter right now because Ben is out the door. We obviously don't trust Dwayne Haskins. We don't have any other options. So Mason Rudolph is the starter right now. Let's see what happens in 6-7 months. You know, we get to August. Let's see if we're still talking about Mason Rudolph as the starter, because that, I think, is going to have a big impact on where people are drafting Steelers or how interested they are in having Steelers skill position guys on their fantasy team. All right. Want to talk some quarterbacks today. I feel like we should spend the next couple weeks sort of breaking down positions, looking at what happened in the 2021 season, sort of looking ahead to 2022, and kind of getting a handle on it. Obviously, things are going to change. We haven't hit free agency. We haven't hit the draft. So what we think now may be a little bit different than what we think, say, in July. But I kind of want to just get the pulse of each position. So let's start with quarterbacks. Let's start with the top five fantasy quarterbacks from this past year. Again, this is through week 17. I didn't include week 18. So you got Josh Allen, who's your QB1 for the second straight year. Justin Herbert at 2. Tom Brady at 3. Patrick Mahomes at 4. And Joe Burrow at 5. Were there any big surprises in that top five? Anybody who ended up there that maybe you didn't think would be there?
Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, and even Brady, like, we all knew these guys. Like, Joe Burrow was coming in with question marks. Like, he was coming off of this knee surgery where didn't even have a full year to recover. There was O-line question marks. Did they make the right choice? And then the Jamar Chase summer, I mean, we all summer long was like, oh, they should have took Penny Sewell and you know, had an O-line for Burrow. And it started off a little bit slow for Burrow, and then he just exploded, and he looked the Heisman winning number one overall pick. He looked that part this season. So I was hopeful for Joe Burrow that he could take the next step in this offense. But if you asked me before the year, like, is he a top five quarterback? It would have been a hard no for me.
I'm a little bit surprised by that. I thought he could certainly be a top 10 guy, certainly not top five. I'll say that I'm a little bit surprised by Tom Brady being a top three quarterback. And I know he had a ton of weapons, and maybe it's just because we're all still waiting for the fall off to happen, right? It's like predicting the end of the world. You do it long enough, eventually you're going to be right. And like, you keep predicting Tom Brady's fall off, like, eventually we may be right. Although
Fall off might be the end of the world.
It really, like, those two things might coincide. Like, really. I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Tom Brady has like a 5,000 yard, 45 touchdown season, and is just like, yep, I'm done, I'm out. And then just like, the fall off never comes. He just walks away before that can happen.
With 12 Super Bowl rings or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is, whatever number it is that he ends at, and then, you know, he just decides to just call it quits. So maybe the fall off never happens. But I will say that I'm a tiny bit surprised that he was a top three guy this year. So that got me to three big questions about drafting quarterbacks, sort of based on what we saw last year and trying to project that into some draft strategy. The first one is it still a good idea to wait on quarterbacks? And I ask it because you look at the guys that were at the top of the leaderboard, right? And for the most part, you know, Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, even, I guess, to some extent, Brady. These were guys that were, these weren't necessarily, I'm sitting back until the 10th round to get a quarterback sort of guys. Maybe Burrow falls in that category. But for the most part, the guys up top were the guys that you kind of had to reach for to get. Everybody else felt inconsistent. So do we stick with this wait on a quarterback strategy?
I've changed my quarterback approach 2 years ago, and I think it's what I'm going to continue to stick to. I will not be drafting the first few quarterbacks off the board, which means, unfortunately, I won't have my guy Josh Allen really anywhere next year. I didn't have Mahomes in a lot of places this year. Lamar, you know, for his historic 2018 season. I really haven't had any of the top quarterbacks, but I think waiting is a disadvantage when there's such a good second tier of quarterbacks. And that, like last year, that was players like Herbert and Kyler and Dak, and Brady was in that tier, and Stafford. And then the year before that, it was a lot of those same names. Watson was in that tier as well then. So for me, Jalen Hurts was another guy. Like for me, the second tier where you could get a quarterback in like somewhere between like rounds like 6, 7, maybe you wait a little bit longer, like 8, 9, but you're still getting one of those top 10 elite quarterbacks with the least upside, but it's a little bit of a discount from the higher end guys, and you're still getting an advantage at that position. So that secondary tier is where I've been living with quarterbacks, and it's kind of what I think I'm going to do again next season.
And that was sort of my approach this year too. I drafted the wrong quarterbacks in the second tier. You know, I drafted Russell Wilson. I drafted Dak, who, you know, started well, then kind of slumped and was just kind of up and down this year. You know, so I think maybe the approach was right. I just think my execution might have been wrong. And so maybe that's me being a little bit frustrated with sort of the results as opposed to the process. Because I think you're right. Like, I don't think I'm going to get Josh Allen. I did draft Mahomes in one spot last year just because, you know, you do enough drafts, you try something different, you kind of go outside the box. And so I got Mahomes, and it worked out fairly well from the end that league. But I do think I'm going to be back to just kind of getting those second tier guys. There's still plenty of talent there. There's still opportunity. By the way, speaking of which, you mentioned Justin Herbert. Does he stay in that second tier? Does he move up to kind of being one of those top tier guys now?
I'm thinking he stays on that border. Like, I think Josh Allen, Mahomes will be the top two quarterbacks again off the board. I wouldn't be surprised if we see like a Kyler Murray potentially thrown in there, but I think there's going to be a discussion. I think after the top two is when Herbert starts to be in that discussion. So it'll kind of depend on his ADP, because I don't think he'll go quite as high as Allen and Mahomes, but he might be like that tweener. I don't know if he goes as like, you know, 6th, 7th round. You might have to take him in like the 5th round, but I don't think he's going to be like a 3rd or 4th round pick.
Well, yeah, 5th round, I can sort of make a case for. If that's where he ends up being, then I think I'm okay with that. If he's a 3rd round guy, then I might end up being out on Justin Herbert. So that being said, right, you talk about the first 5 or 6 guys that were super consistent, super good week to week. After that, you know, there was a little bit of a fall off, right? I mean, you look at 6, Matthew Stafford faded in the back half of the season. Dak Prescott was up and down. Jalen Hurts, I mean, early on he was great. Later on, yeah, it was a struggle at times for him. Because of this, I mean, I have certainly worked in the past where in standard 1 quarterback leagues, I would just draft 1 quarterback. I didn't want to necessarily leave, spend a roster spot on a second quarterback. But should we change that? Should it become standard practice now to draft 2 quarterbacks just because there aren't as many guys you can just have set it and forget it on a weekly basis?
For me, if I have one of the elites like Allen, Mahomes, I'll throw Herbert in there, you know, whichever you view as the elite quarterbacks, then I'm only going to take 1, because I'm like, when am I ever going to sit Josh Allen outside of his bye, or Mahomes or Herbert? But what I was doing last year was, if I, and again, I said my strategy was to wait a little bit on the quarterback position, I was pairing 2 quarterbacks together. Like, I had a lot of teams where like I would pair up like Stafford with one of the rookie quarterbacks, or Jalen Hurts with like a Stafford or a Tannehill, someone that I was like, I liked the idea of pairing someone that I thought was safe with someone that I thought had a lot of upside. And to me, if I miss out on the elite quarterbacks, quarterback is so deep again, where you'll be able to get a lot of those upside players later in the double digit round. So at that price, I think it's worth taking, because Joe Burrow was one of those quarterbacks this year that he was a double-digit round pick in a lot of drafts, but if you took him and say you paired him with, like, Russell Wilson, you might have thought, hey, Russell Wilson, I'm set with him. You weren't, and then Joe Burrow could have really won you a championship. So for me, unless I have one of those elite quarterbacks where I would never even think of sitting, I think it is smart to grab a second quarterback, but only one that has upside. I'm not going to take, like, you know, a Kirk Cousins or something like that as my second quarterback. I want someone that can give me some more upside than that.
And I think that's the important part of it, right? It's got to be somebody that you feel like has a higher ceiling, right? There's no point of making Jimmy Garoppolo your second quarterback and, you know, just kind of having him sit there. Although the flip side of that is you end up with, like, for me, I had Dak and Jalen Hurts, and it was a weekly battle in my head to figure out which one am I going to start, I mean, I guess that's a good problem to have. It's better than the alternative of you know, having two quarterbacks and you don't want to start either one of them. But I think I am going to kind of always have a second option there. I guess especially because, as we talked about, I don't know if I'm drafting any of the elite guys, right? I don't know if I'm going to have Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. So I think there's always going to be a question on any given week of who I should be starting. So I guess that means I'm probably going to get a second tier quarterback. I don't know, Kyler Murray, and then pair him with Trey Lance.
I was just like, I'm going to have so many teams paired with Trey Lance, like Stafford and Lance or something like that, you know, like where I have one starter who's safe, but then Trey Lance brings that upside.
Right. Well, speaking of which, we're talking about Trey Lance and Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts and all these guys. Have we placed too much emphasis on running quarterbacks? Like, I feel like for a while that was such a big thing. And I know I definitely pushed this advice. Like, get yourself a quarterback who can run, who can pick up yards on the ground. This year was kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you had some guys, obviously Josh Allen puts up numbers on the ground. Justin Herbert has some decent numbers. But then Tom Brady had 81 rushing yards. Matthew Stafford had 43. Aaron Rodgers was just barely over 100. Like, did we go too far toward the rushing quarterback? Do we need to kind of, you know, find some balance, find some zen in that draft strategy?
Maybe just a little bit. I still think it is super important to have a quarterback who can run, because you look at the top 10 in terms of points per game on the year. I mean, Allen was over 700. Herbert was over 300. Mahomes was almost at 400. Brady, Stafford, Rodgers, those, even Burrow, who only had over 100. Those guys are the exception. But it basically, to be a top quarterback, you need to do one of two things. You need to either run for at least like 300 yards, I would say, or you need to throw for something like 30 plus, 35 to 40 touchdowns. And for me, it's a lot easier to predict the guys who are going to run than the guys who are going to throw for all of those touchdowns. Because, I mean, we've seen quarterback touchdowns rate fluctuate year to year so much, but there's not just a one way to be a top quarterback. You can do it without running. You just have to throw for a lot of touchdowns then.
Was this an anomaly year for Lamar? I mean, I know he was hurt and he missed a good chunk of the end of the season. Does that impact your feeling about him at all?
No, I think if anything, I feel a little bit better about Lamar because, yeah, he was hurt. I'm not going to hold that against him. But when he was playing, we know he can run, but he was taking strides as a passer this year, which, I mean, if that's the case moving forward, and then he's got his full allotment of weapons back, because no team was more banged up than the Ravens this year. Like, I still think Lamar has top five upside, and I'll probably have him ranked in my top five or six quarterbacks again next season.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think so, too. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too, which means we should probably stop and take a quick break. Come back with a little bit more of the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Time to pivot ahead to 2022. I got some hype trainer smoke screens for some quarterbacks here. First one, Trevor Lawrence, after what was a dismal rookie year. He will be a top 15 quarterback, hype trainer smoke screen.
I'm still going to go with hype train because I believe in his talent. I'm a sucker.
I hear the exasperation in your voice.
I thought he was going to be a QB1 this year, and oh my God, I could not have been more wrong. But I'm going to give him a pass and blame the terrible circumstances he had around him. I will say a lot will be determined based on who they hire as a head coach and play caller, but I'm still going to believe in his talent and his running ability, and so I'm going to say hype train, but very reluctantly.
I'm gonna throw a smoke screen up. I think he misses the top 15. I think he's better than he was last year because I think they are going to get, you know, obviously they're going to get a new coach, new play caller. You know, we'll see if they upgrade some of the receiving weapons around him because that was also not particularly great. Still a little bit bitter about the Laviska Shenault deal. Hopefully they figure out some way to unlock him a little bit. But I don't know if he's ready to make the leap quite yet. We'll see what happens in the offseason, but I think top 15 might be just out of reach this year. Maybe year three, who knows? But it also feels like they just wasted a year of Trevor Lawrence because of everything that went on around him down there in Jacksonville. So I want to be optimistic. I can't quite yet. Jalen Hurts won't repeat as a top 10 quarterback. Hype train or smoke screen?
Smoke screen for me. I think. Just what he can do with his legs. If he gets a full year starting for the Eagles, he'll give us, 800 plus rushing yards, probably double digit rushing touchdowns again. That alone, I think, is enough to make him a top 10 quarterback. Hopefully he improves as a passer. But that being said, Marcus, I don't necessarily think he might be a top 10 drafted quarterback. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like the 11th or 12th off the board. Maybe he goes behind like a Russell Wilson, but I think at the end of it, if he starts for a full year, he'll just be top 10 off his rushing numbers alone.
I'm going to reluctantly say hype train. I think what you started with is the key, right? If he gets a full year as a starter, and I'm not 100% convinced that he will. It just seems like people in Philadelphia aren't completely sold on Jalen Hurts. I know that you can't necessarily take Twitter as gospel or take a fan base as gospel, but you did get a lot of sense of like people sort of wanted some Gardner Minshew in their lives late in the season. And, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the feeling inside the building, but certainly outside the building, I don't think people are convinced. And so that's the one thing that worries me. I think if they do give him that full season, I think it's almost a lock, but it's a question of whether or not he has inspired enough confidence to kind of get that opportunity. So I will reluctantly say hype train, but I could very well be wrong here. Next. Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo will both be with new teams next year. Hype train or smokescreen?
Smokescreen. I think Jimmy G will be, unless he, you know, wins a Super Bowl, because I don't know how you move on then if he wins you a Super Bowl. But I think Jimmy G will move on. I mean, he himself already kind of seems to accept that Trey Lance is the guy moving forward there. Baker, I think, gets one more year with Cleveland. I don't know if he's necessarily deserved it, but he's got that fifth-year option. I think they probably bring in a quality backup, maybe like a Marcus Mariota or something like that, to compete with him. But I think he gets one more chance in Cleveland, especially given how banged up he was this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. So it's a smokescreen for me. Jimmy is probably out. Who knows? Maybe he goes to Pittsburgh. Maybe. I don't think Denver would. If you're Denver and you're trading for Jimmy Garoppolo, why wouldn't you just keep like Drew Lock or something and whatever?
If he wins a Super Bowl, Marcus, do they trade Trey Lance?
Ooh, I mean, I say no just because they gave up a lot to get Trey Lance. But it does put them in a bind if Jimmy somehow wins a Super Bowl. Like, how do you just say, hey, thanks for all your work, we're gonna trade you to wherever? You know, like, I don't know that works, but I don't think they move on from Trey Lance because they gave up a haul to bring him in there. So I think they got to give him a shot. But yeah, Jimmy's probably gone. Baker stays. Apparently Kevin Stefanski has really gone out of his way to tell people that, like, we're cool, there's no beef, it's all good, don't worry about it, whatever. So I do think he's back in Cleveland. Last one. And this one maybe spawns a deeper discussion, though. But Deshaun Watson will return to being an elite fantasy quarterback next year. Hype train or smokescreen?
I think this is a hype train. Not to be insensitive to everything going on around Deshaun Watson, there's nothing football related. Like, it's not like he's played bad or anything. Like, I would expect Deshaun Watson to be the Deshaun Watson on the football field that he was the last 3 years that we've seen him, which has been nothing but an elite fantasy option, especially if he goes to a team potentially like Miami or Denver or one that has pieces in place already. I think that he would return and be a easily top 10, likely top 5 fantasy quarterback again.
I mean, I think you're right. And I think from that perspective, you know, if he's on the field and he's playing, you know, a full season or something close to it, I think you're right. And he's back to being that guy. The reason I put this in here, though, is because, you know, I guess I watched over the last couple of weeks as we're starting to see coaching changes happen and we're starting to see teams looking ahead to next year. And his name always comes up when you talk about teams that need a quarterback or looking to make a trade. Deshaun Watson's name comes up. And I guess part of me has felt sort of uncomfortable because we have very little clarity on what his situation is going to be. I know there's been some some small maneuvering, some small movements in his case, whether he's getting close to a settlement or what have you. It hasn't been front page news like it was early in the summer. And part of me is like, well, wait, are we, you know, how do we approach this as football fans, as fantasy people? Do we just assume that all is, you know, cleared and he comes back to play? The league still hasn't stepped in with, you know, whatever discipline that they may put out there. It just feels like, Florio, that there's still so much unknown with Deshaun Watson. And people kind of talk about it like, hey, he's just going to be back, he's going to be playing football and everything's going to be cool again. I just feel like I may go into July, if we don't have any further clarity, you know, will we get to July not knowing what to do with Deshaun Watson? It just feels like it's just kind of a black box and we have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah, and for those in dynasty leagues, I feel like you're just kind of in limbo with Deshaun Watson, right? Like, if you've held on this long, I feel like you just continue to hold on because there's too much up in the air, like you said, where you're not going to get much if you try to trade him. And, I mean, if he comes back, we're saying he's still going to be great. So I think if you have him in dynasty, I know people don't like putting a fantasy turn on stuff like this, but I think you just kind of hold tight. And if you're doing early best ball drafts or something like that, I think you stay away until we get more clarity.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's always awkward to kind of take these real life things and apply them to fantasy football. I never feel great about it. But, you know, it's kind of what we do. So, I don't know. I'm waiting to see more. I'm waiting to find out more. I think we all sort of are. Uncertain, uneasy, I guess, just sort of listening to people talk about Deshaun Watson as though he's just, you know, it's not like he came back from a torn ACL, right? Like, yeah, he was injured and is coming back from an injury. It's just a whole different situation.
That's the thing I also am a little afraid of. Like, if he comes back next year and plays, do we celebrate him? Oh, we have him back. Like, because no, it shouldn't happen that
way. It shouldn't. It really shouldn't. So, you know, it's going to be awkward. No way about it. Yeah. No way around that. All right. So, want to finish this up with our dynasty rankings. Always kind of do a dynasty check. And I am vowing that we will talk a lot more dynasty stuff this offseason. You know, I want to get some of our friends around the industry to come in here and talk some dynasty stuff with us. So, we will certainly do that. But your top five dynasty quarterback rankings now that we are, you know, pretty much done with this season.
I went with Josh Allen at number one because he is elite thrower like the other top options, but he's just the best runner of them. And then I went with Mahomes, who I think is the best thrower of the football in football, at number two. And we can trust those offenses, I feel like, going forward. Justin Herbert at three. He's so elite. He's so young. He's in a great offense. Lamar Jackson, I think people shouldn't be sleeping on him. He is still one of the best quarterbacks in the game when he is healthy. And then Joe Burrow. I mean, what we're seeing these last 6-7 weeks, I think, is Joe Burrow ascending into superstardom. And I don't really expect him to change. I think he is here to stay and is going to be a really fun few years because all five of those quarterbacks, Marcus, are in the AFC.
Yeah, that's kind of wild, right? Because you and I have the same, we have the same five names, maybe just in slightly different order. I went with Mahomes first. You're right. I can trust both them and the Bills offense. I think I just like the Chiefs offense a little bit better. Although, who knows? With Travis Kelce maybe not being the top tight end anymore, maybe it's different. But I still like Mahomes number one. I got Josh Allen at number two. And I really looked at them. I mean, I played with that one a little bit, and it kind of went back and forth. So I settled on Mahomes one, Josh Allen two, Justin Herbert at three, we both agree on. I put Joe Burrow at four, even though I think he's a little bit older than some of these other, not older than some of these other guys, but for a guy who's only been in the league for a couple of years, age-wise, he is sort of on par with like the Mahomes and the Allens and those guys too. So that's sort of something to keep in mind. But they seem to have a good thing going there. He and Ja'Marr Chase are amazing together. And the Bengals look like they are in place to be competitive for a number of years. So I got Burrow at four. And I got Lamar Jackson at five. I do think, you know, the injuries, the illnesses this year sort of slowed him down a little bit. I'd also just like to see, you know, when the Ravens offense is fully healthy again, right? When you get Lamar back healthy and they get J.K. Dobbins back. I mean, remember, he missed the whole year. So you get J.K. Dobbins back for a year. See what happens when, you know, if you can get some consistency out of Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman. So I'm still willing to go with Lamar at five as the QB there in Dynasty. Yeah, so that's it. I mean, none of the other young guys, right? I mean, we're still not putting Jalen Hurts there yet. We're not putting Kyler in there. Kyler didn't make it to either one of our lists. Was maybe a little bit of a surprise.
Kyler, originally, I had him in there, and then I had to take him out. The issue with Kyler, he's not as good of a thrower as maybe you could say Lamar, but the other four are all better passers than he is. And Kyler, ever since that shoulder injury last year, not even this past season, has just been running less. Like this year, I think he had two games where he ran for over 50 yards. So if you're taking away that running ability, he is not a top five quarterback.
423 rushing yards in the regular season compared to, you know, it looked like he was going to be step for step with Lamar Jackson. We're going to be talking about Kyler putting up 1,000-yard rushing seasons. But yeah, apparently he's decided that maybe it's not so good to take hits. I'm not criticizing him. I get it.
About the same size as Kyler. I get it.
I mean, look, my buddy was like, you know, this texted me like this wouldn't be happening if he was playing for the A's. And I'm like, yeah, he'd also be making way less. And the response to that was, I don't know. I consider that trade if Aaron Donald wasn't hunting me every couple of weeks.
He'd be like, living the minor league life. You know what that's like.
I do know what that's like. I mean, I hope you enjoy cold cuts, man, and peanut butter and jelly because That's going to be your life for 6 months when you're doing that sort of thing. So, all right. So on Thursday, we will turn our attention to some running backs, perhaps. Also get in some DFS talk because there are still more games coming up for the weekend. So we will look ahead to that. And hopefully no news breaks after we put this thing out and you guys get to listen to it. That'd be kind of nice, but we'll see. In the meantime, that'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Get vaxxed, wear a mask, do good, and live well. And we will talk to you on Thursday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.